لله الحمد لله وكفى والصلاة والسلام على نبيه المصطفى وبعد. قال الله تبارك وتعالى في القرآن المجيد بعد: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وذروا ما بقي من الربا إن كنتم مؤمنين، فإن لم تفعلوا فأذنوا بحرب من الله ورسوله، وإن تبتم فلكم رؤوس أموالكم لا تظلمون ولا تظلمون. سبحانك وبحمدك لا إله إلا أنت، أستغفرك وأتوب إليك. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made us social constructs, which means that we are individuals that need to socialize, interact with one another. That's who we are. And it's how we survive. For example, there are those individuals who will have wealth, and there will be those individuals who will do the labor work. People will require each other. Business products, fruits, crops, people require each other. And in previous generations, what would happen was that they would barter, they would transact using items and commodities. For example, if an individual wanted this book, they would exchange it in exchange of another book. They would barter or they would exchange like that. If you need something, they'd exchange in that sort of means. So nowadays we have currency as the mode, we have cash in the mode, as a mode of exchange, but that was the previous thing. That's how we require that to survive. We all have items and commodities which the other person needs, and that's how they would transact and exchange. So since we require this, there are laws that we need to prevent oppression. If there are no laws in regards to social laws, then corruption, oppression would become rife and prevalent in society. If any person could transact the way they wanted, or they could steal somebody else's property and there are no laws on there, society would become corrupt. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, throughout certain things, like stealing was always considered wrong, but certain commands changed in certain times according to the society. And every society and community has laws on this. They have laws on this. Whether it's a secular community, secular framework, which is still part of a religion, you could call it, they contain laws on that. Now Islam contains laws, because Islam is a holistic faith. It contains laws on there to ensure that our community, an individual, is protected and the community is protected from harm and corruption. So there are laws in this regard. For example, you look into the books of fiqh, you'll find an entire chapter on Babul Kasb, the chapter of earning. That's the male's responsibility to earn and provide for an individual's family. And this was the practice of the Anbiya alayhim salatu was salam. That Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions, كَسْبُ الْحَلَالِ فَرِيضَةٌ بَعْدِ الْفَرِيضَةِ, that earning halal income, that income is an obligation after obligations, earning the minimum amount for survival. I'll explain a few things on there. Now, alhamdulillah, we find that when it comes to ibadat, our communities have progressed significantly. This masjid, 20 years ago, was across the road. That in that small place, and it was sufficient, or it was satisfying the need of the community at the time. We are now across the road, look at the size of this masjid, and in the first Jumu'ah, people are performing at the fire exits. Right? 800 plus people. But think, there was once upon a time, 20 years ago, where it was across the road in a small congested place, and that was fulfilling the need of the community. But we are now across the road with a much larger space, and and it's not large enough. We host two Jumu'ahs, and one is overflowing. So, alhamdulillah, we've seen our community progress when it comes to ibadat. But at the same time, a common and a recurring theme is that we find the community limiting Islam to ibadat at the same time. When it comes to mu'amalat, when it comes to our interactions and transactions, we are very, very lacking. And as mentioned, that when it comes to even parking on Jumu'ah, double parking, blocking people, and they have to make complaints and email to say, what's going on over here? Now, what representation of Islam is that? Again, mu'amalat. But today I want to focus on one part, which is about income and things. But that's an example. In mu'amalat, we find ourselves very lacking. That what certain words are, What has Islam got to do with these financial regards? What has Islam got to do with it? And you'll find people who will come to perform salah in the masjid, but it will be the same individuals, not to say that they disregard that Muhammad is performing salah in the masjid, but at the same time they'll be selling alcohol in their shops. The same individual will be, when it comes to their transactions, whatever business they've got, lying and deceit. When it comes to income of whatever job they got, impermissible income. And again, this is not to shame individuals, to show that we show significance towards salah, but we forget an integral and a key component in Islam, which is our mu'amalat. Rasulullah ﷺ mentions this as a sign of qiyamah. يَأْتِي عَلَى النَّاسِ زَمَانٌ لَا يُبَالِي الْمَرْءُ مَا أَخْذَ مِنْهُ أَمِنَ الْحَلَالِ أَمِنَ الْحَرَامِ. Narration of Bukhari, that a time will come where a person, won't even care where his income is coming from. Is it from halal means or from haram means? Rasulullah ﷺ prophesied this. That a time will come where a person won't care. Coming from halal means or haram means. And we can find that. Particular about salah, ibadat, but mu'amalat out the window. No, complete disregard. Rasulullah ﷺ prophesied this. And one particular thing that I want to focus on today, because mu'amalat is a very, very, very broad chapter. Our fiqh books are largely dedicated towards that than they are to ibadat. Ibadat can be covered in that much, but mu'amalat is far lengthier. Books in fiqh in general. Now, one key thing which is detrimental to an individual's well-being and society's well-being is the concept and the thing of riba, of interest. Now, it's the sin which spiritually destroys multiple people in the process. And I'll explain this one hadith. Mark my words. It spiritually destroys multiple people in the process. Not just a transaction. In the process. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, آكل الربا ومكله وشاهده وكاتبه. In an authentic narration, it's mentioned that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam cursed the one who consumes riba, the one who receives riba. ومكله, the one that's giving riba. وشاهده, the one that witnesses the riba. وَكَاتِبَهُ, the one that writes it. All these individuals are in the process. Not just the individual who is receiving the interest money. All these people in the process, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has cursed. And what, you know, when there's a curse, it entails a major sin. Because you don't receive curses for minor sins or trivial things. So a curse is a sign that it's a major sin. And the major sins in Islam are not many. Lying and these sorts of things are considered major sins. There are not many. But this is from amongst them. And these four people have been cursed. Now, what does it mean to be cursed? Al-ib'adu an rahmatillah. To be cursed is to become distant from the mercy of Allah. Now, what's the mercy of Allah? Peace, tranquility, tawfiq, acceptance are all mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Think to ourselves. That when we are distant from the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what restlessness do I have in my heart? Think, I'll give an example of riba. Somebody could be going and thinking to themselves that, you know what? Comparison, right? Many a times, not saying all the time, many times it's comparison. That all these people have good homes, they've got good cars, I need to live that same life. Comparison. That standard of life is not enough for them. They go and take out loans or conventional mortgage. Not out of necessity, just, you know, to live a certain standard. Again, necessity is different. You need to go to your respective ulama to speak to them on that. For that standard. Now, in the process, you see them constantly stressed. You see them never in the masjid. You see them completely restless. Think to yourself that when Rasulullah ﷺ curses this individual, the curse means al-ib'adu an rahmatillah, to become distant from the mercy of Allah. To become distant from the mercy of Allah means that no serenity, no peace, no tawfiq. To become distant from the mercy of Allah means you lose tawfiq. And you find that these individuals are going in these certain ways, they're never in the masjid anymore. They've lost their sleep. Again, this is all part of the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Mercy of Allah is far broader than this. I'm just giving examples. But this is this detriment to this thing. To this one thing of riba, of interest. And not only does it destroy an individual, as I mentioned, it's detrimental to society. Rasulullah ﷺ mentions in one hadith, مَا ظَهَرَ فِي قَوْمٍ الزِّنَا وَالْرِبَى. That zina and riba and interest do not become prevalent in a community except أَحَلُّ بِأَنفُسِهِمْ عِقَابَ اللَّهِ except they invite the punishment of Allah upon themselves. Except that they invite the punishment of Allah upon themselves. Now we can think, punishment of Allah is very broad. It doesn't just mean that, you know, عذاب falls from the sky. That doesn't just mean that. It could mean economies destroyed. It could mean families are destroyed. People that you think are very, very well. But more wealth comes in from whichever means it comes from, and the family becomes destroyed. Think, إِلَّا أَحَلُّوا بِأَنفُسِهِمْ عِقَابَ اللَّهِ They do not engage in these sorts of things, or these things do not become prevalent in a society. It's not just an individual. In a society, except the punishment of Allah befalls them. And think, you know, sometimes people do it to, you know, they want to live a better life. They want to live a better life, a better standard of living. Better standard of living, right? Whether it's greed or whatever reason, it's not only greed sometimes. The person who's lending it, for him is greed. For the person who's lending it, is not satisfied with what he has. He wants to make money from whatever he has, risk-free money. So for him it's that. For the one that's giving riba, the one that wants to, you know, get a better house, or whatever reason that the person wants, better standard of living, or it could be in a very difficult scenario, this does not better a person's situation. Rasulullah mentions, مَا أَحَدٌ أَكْثَرَ مِنْ رِبَى إِلَّا كَانَ عَاقِبَةُ أَمْرِهِ إِلَىٰ قِلَّةِ No person frequents riba, whether that's living, giving or receiving, whatever, no person frequents it, or gain increases from riba, except that the end result will be qillah, will be poverty, or will be minimal, will be less. Now you could think, it doesn't necessarily just, this could mean literal or metaphorical. It could literally mean that it's never enough. That a person has it, and no matter what, he thinks to himself, I've not got enough, more and more. And you know how we say systemic riba, systemic usury, where it's it perpetuates riba. A person's constantly in the debt system. It's never enough. One property, no, second. Second, third. Rasulullah mentions that لَوْكَانْ لِبْنِ عَدْمَ وَعَدٍ If a person had two valleys, لَبْتَغَى ثَالِثٍ He searched for a third valley of gold. And nothing would fill إِلَّا تُرَابٍ Nothing will fill his stomach except soil, meaning the death. Until he dies, nothing will ever satisfy him. This is the thing of greed. And wealth is something that won't be satisfied. And riba is part of it. Now, just summarizing, what is riba? Now, there are usually two types. If you look at the tradition, we find two types. Riba al-fadl and riba al-nasi'ah. Riba al-fadl doesn't occur as much, but I'll just give you an example. It's when different amounts of the same item is exchanged. Different amounts of the same item. For example, 1 kilo of dates for half a kilo of dates. Different amounts, but same item. That's not allowed. That's riba in Islam. Now you might say, there's a quality difference. Irrespective of that, it's prohibited and it's not allowed. The process defines permissibility. You could sell the kilo of dates, gain, I don't know, £10 for it, then buy half the kilo of dates, that's fine. The process defines permissibility. The directly a kilo of dates, for half a kilo of dates, is impermissible, according to old schools. That's the first type, and it's not as common because we exchange more in currencies than we do with items. It's not as common, but it can happen, currencies. Exchanging £100 for £50, again, although it's not cash transaction, it's usually deferred, that's impermissible also. But number two, which is more common, is riba al-nasi'ah, a condition in a contract that the lender will be repaid an extra amount for accepting a delay. For example, £1,000 I'll lend you today, you owe me 1,200 next year, or whatever. There are many, many examples. Riba al-nasi'ah, this is the riba of delay. Now, go to your local scholars to confirm whether a transaction has it or not, because not every type is considered this. For example, a buy now, pay later scheme might actually be permissible, provided certain conditions are there. So it's not as simple as that. There are far more nuances to it. Now, this is just an overview. That riba and profit are not the same. So you might say, you know what? We're two consenting people and we both consent to it. So what's the problem? These are the same words the mushrikeen of Makkah said when the verses were revealed. إِنَّمَا الْبَيْعُ مِثْلُ riba. That profit and riba are the same. What's the difference? Their words were that إِنَّمَا الْبَيْعُ مِثْلُ riba. That transacting and riba, what's the difference? We're profiting in both. What's the difference? Allah then said, وَأَحَلَّ اللَّهُ الْبَيْعَ وَحَرَّمَ riba. Allah has made bay', He's made transaction halal, but He's made riba haram. Understand that. You know, some people, you'll hear this very common, that we're just making money. Depending on the way you make money is what's going to be permissible or not. It's not as simple as, yeah, money is money. That's not how it works. And these are the words of the mushrikeen of Makkah uttered. Now, why is interest, why is riba haram? Number one, first and foremost, it is because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has told us so. Recognize that our wealth and our souls, there's an exchange taking place. What's the exchange? That we give our lives and our wealth in exchange of Jannah. That is our transaction. Now, first and foremost, it's submission. Because throughout the Quran and the Sunnah, you won't find that riba is haram because of this. You'll find Allah has made it impermissible, and the reason and the wisdom isn't disclosed. The ulama have philosophized and rationalized as to what are the reasons why it's impermissible. But it is, number one, impermissible because Allah has told us it's impermissible. Yes, there are wisdoms. Why? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is al-hakim. He is the all-wise. Now, if Allah is the all-wise, it follows that everything He does is filled with wisdom. So ulama then rationalize, okay, what are the wisdoms in this? And when we look at the commands and we look at the examples of riba, we find that riba is something which is risk-free. And Islam, throughout, you look, that there's always risk. When a person buys an item, or a businessman brings in products, brings in commodities, there's always a risk. What if nobody purchases the item? What if it depreciates in value? What if it appreciates in value? There's risk. Even though minimal, sometimes, there's always risk. Now, with debt, there's no risk. You give a person money, irrespective of whether it appreciates or depreciates, whatever the scenario, you will be given more in return. It's exploitative. No matter what happens, the person who is the debt, the one that's the borrower, will always be in loss, and he is in a scenario wherein he is being exploited for his necessity, for his need. And the part of it is risk-free. See, if you go into a partnership, this is the difference between a conventional mortgage and an Islamic mortgage. People just look at the end result and say it's more expensive without looking at the process. That in an Islamic mortgage, you'll recognize that there's a risk. That they'll actually buy the property and they will bear the risk in, whether in appreciation or depreciation, they bear the risk. Now, you may look at the end result and say, it's more expensive. That's a reductionist and an oversimplistic approach without recognizing the process in there. And the example I used before is, the process defines permissibility. You might think to yourself, a kilo of dates for half a kilo of dates. There's a quality difference. But Rasulullah in the hadith has prohibited that transaction. And he told the sahabi, go and sell the dates and go and buy it with whatever in exchange of that, and that is permissible. The outcome is the same, but the permissibility is because of the process. That's how interest, my point of view here is, this is mu'amalat. These are how Islamic and commercial law works. So we need to be educated on these things to understand how do these things, remember, Islam is not limited to aqaid beliefs. It's not limited to just our ibadat. Mu'amalat, and as I mentioned, our books of fiqh are further dedicated towards mu'amalat than they are to ibadat. Ibadat you can find within that much, but mu'amalat you can find that thick. Certain books, you've got majalla, the Ottoman Empire. This thick, just on commercial law. Just on commercial law alone. Not on ibadat. They've just got a separate encyclopedia, you could call it, on just, not individual rulings of laws. Of just principles, that thick of just principles, not laws itself. Laws are far beyond the commentaries, so that thick. But just on the law, on the principles alone, they're that thick. People study it for years, majilla. That's just an example. Now, that's a good quote. One quote Imam Qaddafi mentions, right? Irrespective of whether people say we no longer want this protection, the protection will remain. That interest is haram for our protection. Again, for our spiritual protection and for our economic protection, both. But it's there for our protection. If people say that, you know, we no longer want this protection, it doesn't go away. If somebody says, look, for example, zina, protect progeny. The why nikah, etc. there is to protect progeny. If somebody says, I don't care about that and I don't want to protect my progeny, zina doesn't become halal for him. If somebody says that, you know, there are greater harms in alcohol, etc. Allah has mentioned there are greater harms, but I'm not bothered about the harms. So I'm going to take alcohol. Does it ever become halal for him? It never becomes halal for him. Why this inconsistent approach with riba? Irrespective of whether we see the harms or not, when Allah has told it is haram, we've seen the detriments. We can see the harms. Irrespective of whether we see it or not, Allah has made it such, and we submit to that. Islam is submission. And Islam is submission, pure submission to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we submit to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala because our submission is what's going to attain Jannah. Now, without a doubt, this is difficult to avoid. I'll just mention this one hadith that Rasulullah mentions that لَيَتِيَنَا عَلَى النَّاسِ زَمَانٌ لَا يَبْقَى أَحَدٌ إِلَّا أَكْلَ الرِّبَى. That time will come where there won't be a person except they will consume riba. فَإِلَّمْ يَأْكُلْهُ If he doesn't consume it, أَصَابَهُ مِنْ بُخَارِهِ Even its effects, the dust will afflict him. Now we can think, you know, economic society today, even if a person refrains from it, you know what it says? I'm going to refrain from going into a conventional mortgage. I'm going to refrain from transacting in that way. Until recently, many ways, even banks, even if you didn't want the interest, they'd give it to you. So you couldn't even refrain from it in certain ways. The only way was to keep cash, which was insecure, which was how you're going to transact online, how you're going to make transactions. These are just examples that even the dust will afflict an individual. The entire economy is based on this systemic riba, systemic interest. That even the dust will afflict an individual. Now my point over here isn't to make us despondent and to say, you know, it's the end of your life, you know, give up. So that's not my point over here. Whatever effort we can make, think, number one, it requires two things. Education and pondering, and well, three things, and effort. Number one, education. Tomorrow we've got a program on riba itself, PFIDA, an organization, trying to bring Islamic finance to Scotland for Islamic mortgages, etc. Trying to bring it over here. They're coming to our masjid after Maghrib tomorrow. Participate, show interest that for them to bring the product, what it is, there are different laws between here and England. That's why we find many banks, Islamic banks do not apply it over here. So PFIDA are willing to do it over here. Now we need to show interest to create that demand to show that yes, bring those products here. So after Maghrib tomorrow, participate in the program so we can bring these products, these home financing products here. That's number one. Number two, certain obvious things refrain from. Think, check your accounts, your bank accounts, something as simple as that. Am I receiving interest in there? It's far more, again, interest to the whole is severe. But especially for the individual, he will be drowning on Qiyamah. He will be drowning because of consuming riba. Now, if our bank's accounts accrue interest, remove it. There are many features, many banks that actually allow you to remove it. If your bank doesn't allow it, remove the account. It's not an excuse because there are alternatives. There are plenty of other banks you can go to as an alternative. A person needs to remove that. And a person can't say that, don't worry, I purify it. That part of just receiving it alone, you are sinful. There are examples of certain ulama in the past saying that even when a person, if a person gives that in that charity of that riba with intention of reward, he is sinful for that also. So clear that. Number one, if you can get out of that bank, get out of that bank. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all true understanding and tawfiq.